We just heard words of warning from Jesus, words about the gospel. Here's what Jesus said. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. The hard truth of the gospel of Jesus will come out. It cannot be suppressed forever by any powers or principalities. It must be spoken, declared, told, out in the open, in the daylight, where not only the words are heard, but where the speaker is seen, noticed, acknowledged, and taken into account. That is the kind of speech that we've been hearing a lot lately, as people have taken to the streets to bear a message openly and boldly, demanding to be both seen and heard. These voices are calling all of us to listen more deeply and then act more justly. Sometimes as a preacher, I think I have important things to say, and maybe I do, and I suppose I'll keep saying them. But sometimes as a preacher who is also happens to be white, male, over the age of 60, the best thing I can do is listen. Because my view of the world is shaped by my position in it. So I decided today mostly to listen. I contacted four of my sisters and brothers of color who are pastors and church leaders who I know personally, two in Harrisonburg and two beyond, who I believed would have something important to say to me and to us here at Parkview Mennonite. I didn't give them a topic or a question. I didn't set the agenda. I simply said to them, talk to your brothers and sisters at Parkview. And all of them know at least something about who we are here. I said, tell us whatever you most want to say right now and whatever you most want us to hear. I didn't give them a lot of time, only 3 minutes each. But I did say someday, post-COVID, maybe we can have them visit us in person and have a longer conversation. Let me introduce you to my friends and colleagues in ministry. Pastor Costella Forney is the pastor of, I think, the oldest black church in Harrisonburg and among the oldest churches around here, period. It's on Sterling Street in the Northeast community of Harrisonburg. It opened at the end of the Civil War in what was then known as Newtown, a neighborhood built by and for African Americans who had been enslaved and were recently freed. Pastor Chris Johnson is the founder and lead pastor of Divine Unity Community Church, commonly known around here as DUCK. It's located off Country Club Road and is a relatively newer church in town, but has grown rapidly with multiple services and has established a strong reputation as a multi-ethnic and multi-generational church with a strong community outreach. Chris is a graduate of both Bridgewater College and of Eastern Mennonite Seminary. Pastor Leslie Francisco McClendon is a third-generation pastor of Calvary Community Church in Hampton, Virginia, commonly called C3. She is lead pastor, and her husband Caleb is associate pastor. C3 is part of our conference, Virginia Mennonite Conference, and has been since it began as a mission church in 1952. Leslie's grandfather, Leslie Francisco II, was first a deacon and then associate pastor and under a white lead pastor, and then moved into the lead role there in 1971. And son Leslie III later took over as lead pastor and bishop, and he continues in the bishop role as now daughter Leslie leads the congregation. And finally, Glenn Guyton, who found a renewed faith and discovered Anabaptism and the Way of Peace as a young man at the C3 Church in Hampton. He eventually went on to a variety of ministry positions in local congregations and the denomination until his appointment a few years ago as executive director of our own denomination, Mennonite Church USA. So I'm happy to turn my time over to these sisters and brothers of ours and to let them tell it in the daylight.
Greetings to one and all. My name is Pastor Costello L. Forney from John Wesley United Methodist Church here in Harrisonburg. And I'm so pleased that Pastor Ness thought of me to bring a word in this season, in these times that we're living in. I come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who I love and I pray that you have a relationship with too. This pandemic, the racism, the injustices, along with all the unnecessary violence and destruction that we're experiencing now, has already been foretold. Jesus undeniably paints a clear and accurate picture that for us that we should take heed to. If we were reading and studying our Bibles the way we've been instructed to, we as Christians would have been more prepared. We wouldn't be caught off guard. We would be more secure than we are in these troubling times. We need to be in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. We should be preaching and teaching and witnessing the truth that no matter what has been allowed, and no matter what is to come, that our God, who sets high and looks low, is still in control and is still sovereign. The world should be able to look at us for comfort and for answers. It's our job. It's our job as the body of Christ to be the church that God needs us to be right now. In unity, we must arise and move forth in the power and the authority that Jesus has given us. You see, we know what the end is going to be. Jesus has already gotten the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, as disciples of Jesus, we must follow His last command and go out into this world, this fearful, this angry, this deceived and dying world, and teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching the world to observe all things that Jesus has taught us. He's still the way, He's still the truth, and He is still the life. Amen, amen, and amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is Pastor Chris Johnson of Divine Unity Community Church. I'm delighted to have an opportunity to share a few words with you in light of the civil unrest that we are facing. There was already a pandemic in COVID-19 that many of us were trying to adjust to. But now there's another pandemic that is being revealed on a deeper level in a more overt way than what it was before, and that is that of racism. African Americans in this country have struggled to be able to find significance, identity, and actually a place to call home. And with injustice that has been inflicted upon us through systemic racism, but also through marginalized social standards, it has made it difficult for the world to actually bring unity. I have the burden and the blessed opportunity to pastor a multi-ethnic church. That's a gospel conviction that in Ephesians chapter 2, the wall of hostility was torn down between Jew and Gentile. So reconciliation was first between us and God, creator and creation. Then it was between us and between each other. So God didn't plan for us to live a segregated life. However, it seems that the world has influenced the church to the point that when the evil side of the world is revealed, it makes it difficult for the church to respond. And so where we are now, we have to play catch up. We're trying to react, not just churches in this city, but churches all around this country. And so my prayer is that the spirit of unity, that the spirit of the living God will convict hearts so deep that we will not be able to rest without addressing these things such as racism, such as marginalization. Because if we don't, who will? We're facing an issue that we cannot expect for the government to solve. We're facing an issue that politics cannot fully solve. We're facing an issue that God has already put the solution in place. And somewhere along the line, we have the miseducation that salvation does not translate to helping others see Jesus and be like Jesus. And so my exhortation today is don't let the gospel only be your get out of hell free card, or only be the thing to make you morally right in regards to your personal inward righteousness. But let the gospel be a call to action to not let any injustice anywhere be tolerated. And it starts with us first, then to our community and to our churches, to stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unapologetically, that may make some people uncomfortable. But it's better to be uncomfortable here, holding on to the truth, so that we may get there, so we might be able to be with the truth in all eternity. May the Lord bless you. May He lead you in a way that would bring Him glory and that would display the love that was displayed on the cross.
Well, hello, my name is Dr. Leslie Francisco McClendon, and I serve as the senior pastor of C3 Calvary Community Church in Hampton, Virginia. I'm grateful that I was invited to share a thought with you today, and I trust that these words of exhortation prove helpful for you as we navigate this tumultuous season that we're in. I'm sure you've seen everything that's going on in our nation and the tension that is ever evolving. Not only are we in a pandemic, but an epidemic in our nation, which has caused serious division. And as a Black person, I'm petitioning you as a church, as the body of Christ, to speak in the strength of its peace witness to the dominant culture in this nation, to address, challenge, remedy those disparities plaguing people of color. I'm encouraging you to walk alongside the suffering and the oppressed, enter their stories, and allow compassion to become movement that calls for equitable and prudent steps toward healing, the restoration of hope, building community with those who are disenfranchised. As a nonviolent peace church, nonviolence is our witness and peace is our methodology. And I think it's important to note that what happens to one person of color affects all people of color indirectly and ultimately the world. There are other nations that are even witnessing the things that are going on in our nation right now. But we must work together for a better society where diversity outperforms division, and where people are celebrated and not merely tolerated. Please remember, peace is not synonymous with inaction. One thing that I'm constantly learning about Jesus, the more that I study him, is that Jesus is not a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. There's a big difference between the two. A peacekeeper avoids conflict at all levels, while a peacemaker is someone who is willing to resolve any sense of turmoil to establish peace on all fronts. Ask yourself, what can I do to bring the peace and also to sustain it? I think it's important that we don't just speak up or out on things that are trendy. We have to continue the conversations beyond the hashtags. So I've compiled a list of resources that I'm willing to share that will aid in the journey of reconciliation. This is a list of books, audiobooks, films, and documentaries that will help you to see things from another perspective. I truly hope that this was helpful. Many blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Soul singer Sam Cooke said in his song, "A Change Is Gonna Come," "Oh, when I go to my brother, I'd say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. There have been times when I thought I wouldn't last for long. Now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh yes, it will. Our world is changing as brutality, abuse of power, and systemic racism are revealed. The eruption that we are seeing in the media is nothing new. From the Civil War to the burning of Tulsa to Selma to the Watts riots, we have been here before. At times before there has been significant change, there has been bloodshed and loss of life. That too often is the cost of admission into change. Why do you ask? Dr. King expressed it so eloquently when discussing the 1965 Watts riots. He said, "I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so, in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these reoccurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention." These words are as relevant today as they were 55 years ago. We all share the burden of bringing about change in our nation, in our communities, in our organizations, and in our places of worship. We have the power and the responsibility to combat racial isolation, poverty, implicit bias, and not to mention fighting against the militarization and qualified immunity of police. We must each accept the privilege that we have, be it in the form of wealth, gender, or whiteness, and use that privilege to help those in need or those suffering under the knee of oppression. We must speak out against injustice, sexism, racism, homophobia, and discrimination in its many forms. We must reject stereotypes, push against bias, and judge people for who they are, not for who we think they should be. We must understand that a request for equality does not diminish your freedom. Justice is not pie. There is enough for everyone. At the end of the day, people want the ability to live into the American dream. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, we want to be safe in our community. Liberty, we want to have access to systems, knowledge, and services that sustain life. Pursuit of happiness, we want to be able to succeed and fail on our own merit. My question for you, my brother, my sister, is what will you do to bring about the long time coming needed change in this country?
My deepest thanks to each of these sisters and brothers of ours who spoke truths to us that, if we take them seriously, are hard truths. My commitment personally is not to leave it at that, but to keep the conversation going, to have us talk to each other as a congregation, asking what God would have us do to see freedom and justice happen for these sisters and brothers of ours. I would like now to create a few moments for us all just to listen. Think about what you have just heard. Think about what the next conversation might need to be for you, for us. After a couple minutes of silent reflection, we will read the words of confession together. Thank you. And now please join me in this prayer of confession. God of judgment and mercy, we draw near to you and pray that you will draw near to us. Hear our confession. Our hands need cleansing, for they have participated in systems of injustice and violence. Our hearts need purifying, for they have been wooed by the power and hatred of the world. God of mercy, hear our prayers for healing and restoration. As the cross looms before us, may we walk in the pathway of Jesus, who took on our brokenness, yet pointed in hope toward your promise of new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.